Today, we're talking about something that does not get talked about nearly enough, and that is stepfamily finances. I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had 4 kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, stepfamily life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this. Hello, hello, and thank you for joining me. I don't know about you, but when I met my husband, Craig, I knew I was going to have my hands full blending into the family and planning to move in together and the wedding and all of that stuff. And we talked about all kinds of stuff in those early months. But you know what we didn't talk about? Money. Now, that's not totally true. We did sit down right around when we got engaged to go through our assets and debts and what each of us was bringing into the marriage. And we did talk about our philosophy around debt, but that was about the extent of it. And if you're a stepmom, I don't know if you have had a similar experience, but for me, I think like many women who become stepmoms later in life, I hate saying that because it makes me sound like I'm really old, but you know, Craig and I got married when I was 40. And before I met him, I had enjoyed a really full, really independent life. I had worked hard to pay off my 6-figure law school student loan debt. I had built a really successful career, and I had spent a long time contributing to what became very sizable retirement investments. And I assumed when we got married that we would just merge our money. I mean, what was mine would be his and vice versa. And for the most part, that's what we did. And it worked for a little while. But I realized the further along we got into our new life together that there were a lot of things that we hadn't talked about. I've written a few pieces on this for CNET and Insider and have had some great discussions on various podcasts with Farnoosh Torabi on So Money and Bobby Rebel. I will link to all those in the show notes, which you can find at thiscustomlife.com/episode70. And I'm also going to link to stepfamilymoney.com, where I have a little gift for you. It's free, and you can go there and grab a copy of the 10 money conversations that stepmoms should have when their partner has kids. And it will help guide you through some of the stuff that we are going to be talking about today. So let's go back to when I got married. I realized pretty quickly that we had not talked at all about how we were going to handle things like who pays for kids' birthday gifts and Christmas gifts, or when they go to a birthday party and have to bring a gift, or vacations for the kids, with the kids, or, I don't know, college. I mean, yeah, that's a huge one, right? Or weddings. I mean, I have a dear friend right now whose daughter is getting married, and they're trying to navigate who's going to pay for what between them, the ex-spouse, and the current spouse, who's the step-parent. And that is definitely not something you think about when you're getting into stepmom life, right? But it does come up. These are real life situations. And you may be thinking to yourself, how could you not have talked about this stuff? And the answer is, I don't really know. I just always felt like things would work out. And it's not like I went into it cavalierly, especially where my finances were concerned. I just had a lot of other stuff that was top of mind. And I think that's normal for stepfamily life, right? Like you're trying to get to know the kids. Maybe you're dealing with your spouse's ex. For me, I was learning how to go from a single career woman who had lived alone for 10 years to all of a sudden, not just living with a man, but living with a man plus his 4 kids 50% of the time. And it was a lot, right? So if you're at all like me and hadn't talked about this stuff, please know I get you. And it's never too late to start having these conversations, which is what I wanted to go through with you today, because Now that I have a number of years under my belt and a few experiences around the finances stuff, I wanted to share it with you and hope my experience helps you. So there are a ton of things to consider around stepfamily finances. And to be clear, it's way too much for just one podcast episode, right? So I'm going to go through today and cover my top pieces of advice. And these are all great things that you can do before you tie the knot, before you move in together. But if you're like me and didn't, you can have these discussions at any point, okay? So let's dive in. The first thing I want to talk about is to lay out each of your expectations as much as you can. That's number one. Before you get married or move in together, you probably will have a conversation about how to handle your money in terms of bank accounts, et cetera. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in my next tip. But as part of that discussion, I want you to also talk about what you're expected to contribute towards the kids. And I want to be clear here, because the bottom line is that you are not required to contribute anything to your stepkids. The key word there is required, right? I am not suggesting that you shouldn't want to contribute anything to your stepkids or that you shouldn't contribute anything to your stepkids. I am just saying that as a stepmom in your role, you are not required to. Now, assuming that you do want to cover some things, have a conversation with your spouse and talk about those expectations. What does that look like? What does your partner expect that you will want to contribute to? And what do you actually want to contribute to? And there are a few things you're going to want to talk about, right? Holidays. Who's buying Christmas presents or Hanukkah gifts? Who's buying birthday presents, birthday parties? What about allowance, sports equipment, uniforms, school supplies? And the big elephant in the room that I mentioned earlier, college. Who's writing that giant tuition check? What about books and living expenses? And to be clear, I'm not giving you a formula here for how to handle all of it because there's no one right answer on any of this. You have to decide what you're comfortable with. And then you and your spouse need to have a conversation about what each of you are comfortable with. And if those things don't line up, then you need to reconcile them with each other and figure out something that you both are comfortable with. All right? So number two, this may be controversial, but number two is keep your money separate, at least until the kids are grown. All right? I learned this one the hard way. I think that Craig and I both just assumed that we would merge our money because we're forming this new family. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. And so we did. And it was all generally fine until my husband and his ex were renegotiating child support. And her lawyer filed what's called a discovery motion, which meant that we had to produce a ton of financial documents. Documents that were frankly invasive. I'm talking about tax returns. I'm talking about property sales and including my business because I had put Craig's name on my business. Now, my information was redacted on all of this, right? But it still felt, the only word I can come up with is icky. It felt really gross. So we talked to our lawyer and she advised that we separate our finances back out. And so we did, and we now keep our money separate, and we have a joint account that we both fund for bills, at least until the kids are out of the house. So if they have to renegotiate child support again at any point, my information won't be caught up in that. And let me tell you, separating your finances out is much harder than just keeping them separate from the start, right? And I'm not telling you any of this or my story to try to get around any obligations that your partner has to their ex or to the kids at all. But I just want to give you some peace of mind that you're not going to get caught up in any of it. And that's why I say keep your money separate, at least until the kids are grown. All right, number three, know that money can be a trigger. There is a reason that money is one of the top things that couples fight about. And add in the blended family dynamics, and it can be a real pain point. So I want you to keep in mind that if you're arguing about money, it's maybe not the money you're actually arguing about. The money may have triggered something else. For example, If your spouse's former partner left them with a ton of debt, or maybe was deceitful about around financial issues, you know, maybe opening up credit cards that your spouse didn't know about, or, you know, pulling money out of accounts or whatever, there are probably some trust issues that your partner has around money. So there may be things that they react a lot stronger to than you expect. All of that is totally normal. You may have some issues that money triggers too. The best way to handle it is to understand that those triggers are there and to talk about them. And that is having some real open discussions about money and about things that have happened in your past and what you feel about them so that you can both spot triggers when they come up. The best thing to do is just talk about it, because money can be a trigger. It's something that people often fight about and often causes huge amount of problems in relationships. So be open about it. All right. Number four, hire professionals when and where you need them. And this is a big one. I cannot overstate it. When you're dealing with a blended family, things are just more complicated. And I know you probably already know this because you've seen it in your family dynamic. And you may have already seen it in your financial dynamic too. So I can't overstate how complicated things are and that you need to spend the money to hire professionals when you need them. I'm talking about a financial planner to help you talk about retirement, help you hit your goals. I'm talking about hiring a lawyer to help you plan your will and your health directives and to help you think through the worst case scenarios. That one is really, really important. And if you're listening to this and saying, oh, I need a will, girl, run, don't walk to the phone and hire a lawyer right now. You need to think about what happens if something were to happen to you or your spouse. Do you have a strained relationship with any of your stepkids and you don't want your money flowing down to them? You need to talk about that. What happens if one of you becomes incapacitated? Are you making the health decisions, or do the kids have power to make the health decisions? Or is it both and you're somehow going to have to make decisions with the kids? You need to talk about that too. Do you want the kids to have a say in your health directives? All of this stuff can seem like it's far off. And trust me, I hate talking about it. I hate even thinking that something could happen to my husband or to me. But if you don't tackle it head on, you're going to leave a mess if something happens to you or your spouse. And that's the simple fact. And I know you don't want that for each other. So have these hard conversations and hire the professionals you need. It may seem like spending that money is a big deal. You may be short on funds and it's a real stretch to come up with them to hire a lawyer to do your will. It's worth every penny that it'll save you in heartache later on. You have to do this. All right. Number five. I want you to know that the conversation is not over when you get married or move in together. You need to check in regularly. That's number five. And this is maybe the most important one. You need to have regular conversations around your finances. And you can do this pretty easily. And money's not super fun to talk about, right? It seems, you know, at best boring and at worst difficult, right? But make it a part of your routine. And here's what we do. My husband, Craig, is the one who is most in the weeds on our money day to day. And that is one of the things about him that I absolutely love, that he really cares about what our financial picture looks like. And he's much more willing to get into it in the day to day and much more interested in getting into it in the day to day than I am, which is wonderful. But we do have a weekly check-in around what's due, what's coming, and where we are on things. So I am involved too. We don't necessarily look at our big picture every week, like what we've got saved and retirement and stuff like that. But we know that we talk finances generally once a week. So we look at our big picture pretty regularly and make sure we're on track. And it gives us a chance to anticipate what may be coming down the pike and to talk about any concerns either of you have. Is there something big that you know you're going to have to pay for? Maybe you know that next year you need a new roof. Well, you can start planning for that now and have those conversations. These things are not fun, right? Finances can be really hard. But you need to have these conversations and you need to have them often. If you can make it a regular weekly thing, do it around something you enjoy together. For us, it's usually Saturday mornings over coffee. Craig will get up on Saturday mornings, open up the computer, and go through our finances. And then we'll talk about it when we have things due and kind of do a state of the state. And then we're done. Sometimes we do it on Sunday, although we have a Sunday routine that we love that involves watching Meet the Press. But whenever you decide to do it, it's just a good practice. What it will do by having these conversations regularly is it'll take an area of potential conflict completely off your plate so that you can deal with all the other potential conflicts and other stuff that blended family life throws your way. And that's what's really important, right? Is taking some of these difficult conversations off the table so that you can really focus on what's going on in your family. So those are my five tips for stepfamily finances, and I hope this is helpful for you. This is an ongoing thing, an ongoing part of your life. It's never not going to be something that you need to devote some time to on a regular basis. So thank you for listening. Don't forget to head to stepfamilymoney.com and pick up your free copy of the 10 things you need to talk about if you're a stepmom that is with a partner who has kids. I hope if you enjoyed this episode, I also hope you'll go to iTunes and give me a quick review. It'll take just a second and will help other stepmoms just like you find me. Thanks so much. See you next time. That's it for this week. If you've enjoyed our chat, I hope you'll help spread the word. Share this episode with friends and head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave me a review. And don't forget, for more great stepmom content, head on over to thiscustomlife.com and follow me on social media. Just search This Custom Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Until next time, you keep being you and know that we are in this together. See you here next week.